You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
I got interested in fluoride many, many years ago due to my own health issues caused by an accumulation of fluoride in my brain and body. Now, during my research on fluoride toxicity, I came across a 2001 article written by our guest today, Professor Paul Conant. And the article was called 50 Reasons to Oppose Fluoridation. It was truly an eye-opener on this hidden epidemic that we have here in America and even across globally. He's the best-selling author of The Case Against Fluoride and is the foremost authority on fluoride and as well as a crusader for fluoride within the environment and for human life. Really grateful to have him here on Wellness for Life. Thanks so much, Paul. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you.
Big fan of what your work is and your Fluoride Action Network. I know that that's pretty much the best online resource to find more information about fluoride and what's going on and how it affects our body and health and environment. Can you just tell our listeners what is fluoride? And I know it, you know, we know it as what we have in our toothpaste, and our dentists use it so we can protect our teeth. But can you give us a little more information about it before we really start digging in?
Well, fluoride is part of a compound containing fluorine. The element fluorine, when it reacts with other substances, becomes fluoride. It, like all elements, it's naturally occurring, but the best indication that we don't need it in our bodies is the level in mother's milk. This is what got me going 21 years ago when my wife asked me to read some stuff on this issue. The level of fluoride in mother's milk, baby's first meal, is extremely low. I'll give you the number, and then we'll give you the number to compare it with. The number is 0.004 parts per million. And we fluoridate the water in the United States at 0.7, ostensibly to fight tooth decay. That's why they put fluoride in the water, to fight tooth decay. Whether it does or not is beside the point. In a moment, I'll tell you what harm it does. But that means that a bottle-fed baby in a fluoridated community with a parent is using fluoridated tap water to make up the formula, that baby is getting about 200 times more fluoride than nature intended. In other words, if the dentists are right that we need to swallow fluoride, then nature screwed up. That means that every single woman on this planet is fluoride deficient. And I don't believe that for one moment. The body doesn't need fluoride. It's not an essential nutrient. There's no process inside the human body that needs fluoride. As far as fighting tooth decay is concerned, it at best, it's a topical reaction. Fluoride works on the outside of the tooth. You don't need to swallow it. You don't need to put it in everyone's drinking water. And you don't need to force it on people without their informed consent.
That's such a great point. I mean, you know, the whole thing about fluoride and the mother's milk, that's a big eye-opener for sure, because, you know, obviously for a human body, whatever's in the mother's milk should be essential and what's necessary for growth and development. And obviously fluoride is not in mother's milk, which means it's not something that we have to live and be healthy. Now, I know that when you look at a box of toothpaste and you look at it, it'll tell you, do not swallow the fluoride, the toothpaste at all. And they ask you to put in, like a little small piece size, but I'm telling you, majority of the population uses, think about the actual, the commercials. They show you just put that entire toothpaste all across the toothbrush, and that's not true. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. You're supposed to use just a pea-sized amount, and people have calculated how much fluoride is in a pea-sized amount of fluoridated toothpaste. It's 1/4 of a milligram, which is what you get in about a large glass of water. Could you imagine the same notice over the kitchen tap? Keep out of the reach of children under 6. If you should accidentally swallow 1 glass of this water, contact a poison control center. I mean, it's absolutely Alice in Wonderland. On the one hand, the Food and Drug Administration does not regulate fluoride in water. They call it an unapproved drug, but they do regulate toothpaste, and that's the notice that's required on the outside of the toothpaste. Don't swallow. And yet we're asked to swallow it every day with every glass of water, cup of coffee that we drink.
That's right. That's right. And all the research that we, you know, that at least I've done, and a lot has to do with your work, is that we can, if it works, it's from application, meaning you apply it to the teeth so that it helps with the strengthening and prevention of cavities. But you know what? I know when I was growing up, and I grew up in Korea, Paul, and back then I remember in our elementary school, my father worked for U.S. government, so I went to the military school. We had these, like, you know, I don't remember how often, but these terrible fluoride,
gels.
They actually forced us to use it in our class. Every one of us had to use it in super high dosages. And I think that's part of the reason why I had, you know, the fluoride toxicity, and fluoride is something that you accumulate and is very difficult to get out of. So what I'd like to ask you, back then when I was young, I didn't know that I had any exposure to it. What are some of the symptoms when you're overly exposed, especially in children?
Well, we know when a child has been overexposed to fluoride, they develop a condition called dental fluorosis. It's a discoloration, mottling of the tooth. It usually appears as small white patches, often on the cusp of the teeth. But there's several levels of severity of this condition. You have very mild, which is up to 25% of the tooth enamel impacted. Mild, which is up to 50%. Moderate, which is 100%. And severe, which is 100% with brittleness. And the shocking fact is today that we have over 40%, maybe higher, of children aged 12 to 15 in the United States have some form of this condition. According to the Center for Disease Control in 2010, 8.6% of children aged 12 to 15 in the United States had the mild condition. That's up to 50% of the tooth enamel impacted, and 3.6% either moderate or severe. More recent figures are higher than that, but that's a shocker. Nearly 1 in 2 of our children in America, adolescents, have been overexposed to fluoride. That, of course, is what you can see. You can see that with your naked eye. The powers that be, the people that promote this, the dental associations and the Center for Disease Control Oral Health Division, who promote this, deny that it causes any other harm. But that flies in the face of basic biochemistry. We know that fluoride is very, very active in the body. It interferes with enzymes, it interferes with hydrogen bonds, it forms complexes with metal ions, it interferes with G proteins, and so on and so on and so on. It's the last thing that you want to put in the human body. And this represents, in my view, the worst public health policy that we've ever, ever instigated in this country. The worst, to deliberately add a substance into the human body which can cause harm, and to do it to everybody, regardless of their age, regardless of their health, regardless of their nutritional status. And what we're finding out now is it interferes with the brain. Interferes with the brain. There are over 300 studies, Suzanne, animal studies and human studies that indicate that fluoride is neurotoxic and interfere with the brain. And that includes 50 out of 57 studies, which shows that it lowers IQ. So out of 57 studies, 50 showed it lowered IQ, and 7 didn't find that. That's shocking.
That is shocking. And I mean, but the thing is that people are not talking about it. You know, I'll tell you, a lot of my patients, when I find that, when I talk about, well, I always ask them, you know, if they drink the tap water, are you using toothpaste? If we're drinking iced tea and coffee outside of your home, that's made out of obviously tap water, soups that you might be eat at restaurants, that's made out of tap water. All those drinks that are out there in a soda pop, those are all made of tap water. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I find consistently is that these individuals have trouble sleeping. Now, that was one of my biggest problem growing up, is I didn't sleep well. And I really believe, and the more I researched on the fluoride is attracted to the calcium in our body. And that's part of the reason why I think, obviously, it goes to our teeth, right? Because there's a lot of calcium in our teeth, but also there's calcium in our pineal gland, which is the center for our sleep. And then, of course, our bones. And there is what's called skeletal fluorosis, correct?
Yes. If you go to India and China, they're quite large areas where in the villages you see the children have dental fluorosis, very obviously have dental fluorosis, and the adults have skeletal fluorosis. Some of the adults are just bent over. The worst aspect of this condition is called crippling skeletal fluorosis. Now, we don't have many cases of crippling skeletal fluorosis in the United States, but we certainly have millions of cases of the first symptoms of skeletal fluorosis, which is identical to arthritis. The millions of people in the United States have aching joints, pains in the joints, pains in the bone. And if you ask your doctor, "Doc, what is this pain caused by? What's arthritis caused by?" He says, "We don't really know, but we think it's got something to do with aging." Well, if you are aging in the United States, you've had a lifelong exposure to fluoride. About 50% of the fluoride that you take in each day from all sources, including fluoridated water, including all the beverages you were talking about, including dental products, including pollution, including pesticides and so on. There are many sources. 50% of that is being stored and concentrated in your bones. And there's never been a study done in the United States to see if there's a relationship between the prevalence of arthritis and exposure to fluoride. It would be one of the most obvious things to do. I mean, after all, the Indians found that the first symptoms of skeletal fluorosis were like arthritis in the 1940s, before we even started fluoridation.
You mentioned about the different types of where you find the fluoride. And one of the things that I also am really aware of is the antibiotics. The antibiotic use in America is extremely high, but there are antibiotics called fluoroquinolones that people are not realizing they are made with high levels of fluoride, fluoroquinolones. And these drugs, you got to ask your doctor, do I really need to take fluoroquinolones? Can I take another option of these antibiotics? Because I know that many, many people have actual pain syndromes, and some of them can actually rupture tendons after taking antibiotics.
Absolutely correct. This is a very, very serious issue. I got a call just a few weeks ago from somebody I knew from way back, and they told me of their terrible condition. And even though they had warned the doctors, I think she had surgery on her eyes, warned them not to use these quinolones, they did, and she's been suffering ever since. So yes, this is something, it's very serious. I think Cipro is one of those quinolones.
Levaquin, Cipro, you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yes, this is
You know, it's more than just America, and it's more than just drinking water. But that's like one of the easiest things actually to change, because you can put a water purification system, at least one that is a reverse osmosis purification system in your house, so that, or your apartment, so that you can clean out that water. Is there any other way to get the fluoride out?
Yes. I mean, I personally, we use spring water. We drive 20 miles and fill up the back of our car with water and drink that. Use that for drinking and cooking. That, of course, does not protect you from the showers and the baths. But it also doesn't protect you when you go downtown, when you go for a meal. All the water you drink in the restaurants is going to be fluoridated. When you go to a friend's house, the more important is to stop this silly practice. It really is ridiculous. It's about time that people, every single citizen, pointed to the health departments and said, the emperor has no clothes. Yes, you're a big agency, CDC, Center for Disease Control, Oral Health Division, but you got this wrong. This is a foolish practice. This is the only time we've used the public drinking water to deliver medicine. You just don't do that. We put a lot of chemicals in the water, but they're to treat the water. We're only putting it into the water as a delivery system, and it's a clumsy delivery system. Number one, once you put a medicine in the water, you can't control the dose. Number two, you can't control who it goes to. It goes to bottle-fed babies. It goes to sick people. Goes to people with poor nutrition. This is lousy medicine. And to make it even worse, you're violating the individual's right to informed consent. You're doing to everybody in your community, the council or whoever, is decided to do to everyone what an individual doctor can do to no one. You know this, Suzanne. You have to follow the patient's right to informed consent. You have to tell them what the drug is for, and you have to tell them the side effects. And then they make the decision. In theory, they make the decision. Most patients, I think, tend to trust their doctor. If the doctor says, take this, you do it. But why should that apply to the whole community? Why should individuals like myself, who studied the issue for 21 years, who taught environmental chemistry and toxicology, I think I can say I know more about this than most of the councillors in this country who have gone ahead and said, we're going to fluoridate this community based upon what other people have told them. It's absolute lunacy, and yet we take it as a norm. Or rather, right, most people take it as a norm because the mainstream media is not telling them. Very few papers, including the New York Times, Washington Post, all those great meccas of science and information, are not giving both sides of this story. And worse still, they join in those people that ridicule opponents of fluoridation, make them out to be the Flat Earth Society, the Dr. Strangeloves of the 21st century. You know, I can write a whole book on this with two colleagues, but our whole book with 80 pages of references is dismissed by some people based on a film that was made in 1960, Dr. Strangelove. I'm sorry, it doesn't speak well of the intelligence of either our government or the people that this silly practice has gone on for 70 years. You know, 97% of Europe does not fluoridate their water. And guess what? Their teeth are not falling out. According to the World Health Organization, tooth decay in 12-year-olds is coming down as fast in non-fluoridated countries as fluoridated countries. So tooth decay is improving worldwide, regardless of the condition of whether your water is fluoridated or not. But I'm afraid the promoters of this practice, particularly the Oral Health Division of the Center of Disease Control, about 35 people, are in a state of denial. I believe that they don't want to admit that this has been a huge mistake. They're frightened of the loss of credibility that would ensue. And that, I think, would hurt other public health practices. In other words, we may be suffering from fluoridation today because they're really protecting something else. And the something else may well turn out to be vaccination, which, as you know, is a multi-billion dollar industry. And recently, Robert J. Kennedy Jr. described the Center of Disease Control, as far as vaccinations were concerned, as a cesspool of corruption. A cesspool of corruption. Meanwhile, around the world, doctors and dentists and health officials are, and editors of newspapers are saying that the CDC says that fluoridation is one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 20th century. How many of them have heard that the CDC is a cesspool of corruption when it comes to vaccination?
The way I see it, Paul, is that what's going to have to happen is that the people have got to speak up in their own town, in their own cities, and go to the councilmen, because I know cities in America, they are, some of them are voting to not fluoridate anymore, right?
Yes. We've had over 200 since 2010 communities worldwide, many of them in America, have stopped fluoridation. So you're right. But even better than that is to get their dentists and their doctors, particularly their doctors, to go to our website, fluorideaction.net, where we have the biggest health database in the world on fluoride's health effects, and get them to study this issue. Because what the other side is doing by name calling is to keep doctors and dentists away from the literature. They only get one side of this at dental school. They only get taught the pro-fluoridation mantra that it's safe and effective, safe and effective. They don't get the other side. So one of the things that we have to do is to get the professionals on our side. But we can only get them on our side if they actually read the literature. They could start with my book, our book, The Case Against Fluoride, Chelsea Green. They can also look at a series of videotapes on our website. If you go to the top bar on the homepage, there's Fan TV. If they click on that, there's a number of videotapes, but the one I would recommend for professionals is called Professional Perspectives on Water Fluoridation. And there's 15 scientists from around the world who have been interviewed on this. It's in a language that anybody could understand, and in 28 minutes, it should shake people who think that this is the best thing since sliced bread. It isn't. It's one of the worst public health policies, the worst betrayals of the public trust. And let me say that again. Fluoridation is a massive betrayal of the public's trust, and many doctors and dentists are unwitting promoters of this practice. They're just going along with what they've been told, what they've been taught at school when they were in their early 20s. And it's left it with them, this notion, this belief system. That's all we're looking at, is a belief system. They believe it's safe. They believe it's effective. But the science doesn't support that. We need more professionals reading the science.
Everything that you're saying, I'm right there with you. I believe in what you're saying. I'm a believer that fluoride is actually a chemical. It's a medical chemical that they're using that we shouldn't be putting with, especially with our little kids and the elderly. I mean, everyone. So getting the word out there is super important. Your book, The Case Against Fluoride, right? That's the book.
Yes,
that's and then right. that's available on Amazon. Where is it available?
Yes, Amazon.com. Yes, you can get it from there. The Case Against Fluoride,
and then more people can more information. You can go to fluorideaction.net. Fluorideaction.net. Also, yes. There are a lot of wonderful videos on YouTube. If anyone wants to watch them and learn more. Paul, you've got a lot of videos up there on YouTube that people have interviewed you, and there's Dr. McCullough. I mean, you name it. There's a lot.
Yes. There are a lot there. But I would recommend that people start with professional perspectives on water fluoridation, because there's a Nobel Prize on there. There's former employees of the EPA. There are members of the National Research Council that researched this issue. In 2006, they published a massive report, the National Research Council report on fluoride in 2006. That's 500 pages. If anybody's interested in science, that's a good starting point.
That sounds great. Gosh, Paul, thanks so much for having, coming. I know you're in Australia right now, so I really appreciate you being on our show, Wellness for Life. So I put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. Such great information. This can be life-changing for you. So please check out fluorideaction.net and get all that information so that you can start spreading the word with your community, with your doctors, with your dentists. Okay, so until next time, go out there and live your best life today. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on Ultimate Wellness for Life show here on Radio MD. Stay well.